sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly described a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy, ship ahoy!" And loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy!" 'Twas the old ship of Zion, the sailing along. All aboard her seemed joyous, I heard their sweet song. And the captain's kind ear, ever ready to hear, caught my wail of distress as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, as I cried out in fear. Ship ahoy. The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, bless the Lord, bless the Lord.
Blood has been applied.
took away my sin, washed and made me pure with Him. Oh, I lost myself, but found it, Lord, in Thee. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in Thee. May all self be slain, my friends, see only Thee. Though it cost me grief and pain, I will find my life again. If I lose myself, I'll find it, Lord, in Thee. Stand alone when I come before Thy throne. Let me bring at least one soul, O Lord, to Thee. Here I give myself away. Take me, use me, Lord, I pray. Let me lose myself and find it, Lord. And find it, Lord, in Thee. May all self be slain, my friends, see only Thee. Though it cost me grief and pain, I will find my life again. If I lose myself, I'll find it, Lord, in Thee. Though it cost me grief and pain, I will find my life again. If I lose myself, I'll find it, Lord, in Thee.
All right. Well, we had a good service this morning. Good to see our couple friend out again for the second Sunday in a row. They seem to be getting to like the church. And also good to see that young man out here this morning. I was expecting to see him here tonight. And so take these people to the Lord in prayer. After the service was all over and many of you had already left, there was still probably about 10 or 15 people here. A lady came in and she said, "I didn't want to come in late, but I have a check here for the church." So she wanted to give it to me. I said, "Well, just go put it." "Okay, I'll put it in the box back there." And she's been here before. And I said, "When you came, did you hear us singing?" She said, "I think I heard you singing." "Well, then just come right in, even if you're late. You just get in here." So she'll be coming again, she said. She's been here maybe once or twice. I don't know if she's been here twice. I know once at least. Others said they think that she's been here a couple times. Well, what a blessing to see that happen. So I encouraged her to come on back and so forth. So you just pray that God use this little old church for His honor and glory. And I got the Gertners. They're going out door to door and inviting people out right here in Catasauqua. So let's pray that that will bear some fruit as well. And people will come on over and check us out here. And you be faithful. And faithful in attendance, faithful in prayer also. So that God can bless His work and use it for the furtherance of the gospel and for the edification of the saints. So I hope you're going to learn some things here tonight as we study Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. Want to look again at some more of these individuals mentioned in the great hall of faith, we call this. You know, the sports world has their hall of fame. The Christian world has its hall of faith, all right? And of course, we've looked at Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and we ended up last week with Abraham's willingness to offer his own son, Isaac. And he actually got him back from the dead, in all actuality, as the ram took Isaac's place on that altar. All these people that we see and that we've talked about, by faith did something. They, by faith, took God at his word concerning things that they could not see. They could not see it happening, but they believed God. And it continues on with each of the individuals. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Yes, this is Isaac, the same one who as a youngster knew how what his father did, tied him, bound him, put him on the altar, and he saw his father's knife just ready to come into him. And he was spared that day, and the ram took his place. He didn't become a rebel because of that. He didn't turn from the promises of God. He walked in the footsteps of his faithful father, Abraham. God even says about Abraham, should I tell Abraham what I'm about to do? And then he decided, yes, I will tell Abraham what I'm about to do in the incident of Sodom and Gomorrah. For he said of Abraham, he's going to teach his children the right way, and he'll bring them up in the right way. And he did. And here's Isaac now in verse 20, our next person of faith here. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You know, the blessings, every one of them, as I've said, are about things that they couldn't see. And so what's he talking about? Things to come. Dwight Pentecost wrote a book entitled Things to Come. It's all about prophecy and the things that are going to take place. Although I don't believe he got it from here. I believe he got that from Revelation. But nevertheless, Isaac blessed his sons concerning things to come. And I know you folks just love to talk about things to come. I know that I haven't really preached much on prophecy lately, but I know that's such an important subject for all of you. You just enjoy it a lot, and so do I. But right now we're going in Matthew, and we're in Ephesians, and we're in Hebrews, and we're in the book of Exodus. And so you just pray that somehow I will get around to doing some prophecy things as well, because it's a good thing to be constantly being made aware of what God is about to do. And you know what? He hasn't kept his bride in blindness. He's told us. And Isaac blessed his sons concerning things to come. And Jacob takes Esau's blessing, but both of them here are mentioned as being blessed by Isaac. Let's go back to the account, back to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27. And starting at verse 1, I'll get started as you guys get there. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. How can anything good come out of this? You know, deceit, underhandedness going on. Doesn't God know that this is taking place? You know, so often when things don't go right, I hear people say, I don't know if God knows what's going on. God knows exactly what's going on. He knew just what was going on here in this family. He all, and in fact, the Bible says, before they were born, God says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Remember, we were talking about foreknowledge of God a few Sundays ago on Sunday morning on the foreknowledge of God. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, even before they were born. And Esau comes forth, born, and he does just what God knows he's going to do, and that is despise the promises of God. And Jacob loves them. But oh, they go about it in an underhanded way, and yet God is going to see to it that the blessing goes to the right one, just as he, by his foreknowledge, knew. And so here it goes. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat. Verse 10, that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And by the way, Jacob's name itself means supplanter, a deceiver. That's what his name means. Isn't that interesting that they should give him a name of just exactly how he would live out his life? And here he's doing it, but now it seems strange or contradictory here that he say, I would seem to him as a deceiver. Well, you're going to do that throughout your life, Jacob. Interestingly enough, verse 13, his mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. See how important it is that you raise your children in the way they ought to go. She's raising Jacob in a wrong way, and he's going to follow that throughout his life. It's going to affect him throughout his pilgrim journey here on earth. And yet, still, when it's all done, Jacob gets the blessing. And Jacob is the one whom God loves, because Jacob loves God's word and God's promises. Esau does not. All right, so verse 14, and he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Oh, isn't it something how people will say things and blame God for things that they're doing in the flesh? Lord wasn't doing this. They were doing this in their flesh. They were doing this. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. You know, it's almost like as if Isaac, in the back of his mind, was wondering, am I being deceived here? Well, verse 22, and Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven. And so here's the blessing. Here it comes. And the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. The very same blessing that God gave to Abraham and Isaac is now given to Jacob. Oh, deceptively, yes, but nevertheless, to Jacob. Verse 30, it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. And here's important words. And this is the by faith Isaac blessed Esau, or Jacob and Esau, concerning things to come. And he shall be blessed. And he shall be blessed. Jacob was the younger, and yet he was going to get the blessing. And Isaac acknowledges it in those words. In verse 34, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. You know, here is an example of what I was talking about this morning. If you go too far in your rejection of the things of God and the blessings of God, you may get to the point where you can't find it in your heart to repent and accept the blessings that God has, even though you might weep for it. He lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 39, and Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And then the passage goes on to tell how Esau hated his brother and decided that he would kill him the next chance he got. And of course, that causes Rebekah to send him up to his uncle, and where he would then find Rachel and Leah, and have all the sons that he would have, the 12 sons of Jacob, becoming the 12 tribes of Israel. But Esau would go in a different path. And Esau and his family would be a constant source of problem and trouble to Jacob and the nation of Israel, even to this day. To this day, there's trouble between Esau's family and prodigy and Jacob's. And it won't be resolved until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. The promised Messiah comes back and sets everything straight. I'm looking forward to that day, and I'm going to be there to see that when it happens. I'm looking forward to the things to come that Isaac, by faith, blessed his two sons with. Now, I know the blessing of Esau didn't sound too great, but nevertheless, that's exactly what did happen to Esau in things to come. And it's exactly what happened to Jacob as in concerning things to come. Like our passage says back here in Hebrews chapter 11, Jacob takes Esau's blessing. Isaac tricked into blessing Jacob. You know, as I read that story, I keep thinking about Isaac. He went by sight and feeling rather than by what the truth really is. He should have sought out the truth on the matter. You say, yeah, but then Jacob wouldn't got the blessing. You know what? God knows what he's doing. And you don't have to do wrong that good may come of it. Don't ever get into thinking that somehow you have to help God out by doing something that isn't maybe just scripturally right or exact. You do just what the Bible says and you let the results with God. God could have made sure that Jacob got the blessing as he foreknew should be. He did not need Rebekah's deception, nor Isaac's inability to get the truth out. He didn't need that. He could do it all on his own. For you know what? Esau already was one who didn't have respect unto the promises of God. And so God could bring it to pass. He doesn't need us to do wrong that good may come of it. We need to do right no matter what. Always choose to do right. Even when you think that you've got it figured out that if you do right, something bad's going to happen, you just do right. And let God take care of the results. God, I believe, will always bless doing right. And he will not put his stamp of approval upon doing wrong. It's just by the grace of God that when men do wrong, that God brings his purposes to pass anyway. And he did that even with the cross. And how the wicked men around the cross and the whole scene of that wickedly put our Savior on the cross. But little did they know, all the while they were doing that, God was going to bring about the right thing, and that is to let his Son pay the price that we all might be redeemed and sit here tonight and sing, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." What a blessing to be able to sing these things and to know the truth of the songs we sing. And so Esau comes too late, but by faith Isaac declares that Jacob will be blessed. Now let's go a little further in our passage in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. I want you to know the Roman Catholic edition of the Bible reads this way in this passage. Listen to this. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and bowed in worship towards the top of his staff. He bowed in worship to the top of his staff. No, it says here, worshiped. Yes, worshiped. But he didn't worship his staff. You know, they walk around, the Pope walks around with his staff, you know, and there's somebody hanging on a T. You notice I say somebody. Because priests were carrying around a staff like that long before my Savior died on the cross. Paganism from way back. The priests of Tammuz and Dagon and Baal had staffs with T's on them, form of a cross. But not because it's the Lord's cross. It was the name of Tammuz. And the letter T was something you see constantly in pagan art and architecture and so forth. You see this constantly long before Jesus came and died on the cross. One has to wonder, why would they change it to read, "He blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped the top of his staff"? He worshiped the top of his staff. It could only come from some pagan influence. No, he was leaning upon the top of his staff. If you remember, he wrestled with God and God put his thigh out of joint and he had to use a staff to walk with the rest of his life as a result of wrestling with God that night. That's why he was leaning upon the top of his staff. He wasn't worshiping the top of his staff. And And I see folks, when that pope comes through, or a priest, a local priest comes through with his staff, what do the people do? They bless themselves, they cross themselves, they genuflect and everything else, because he's carrying that so-called symbol of our crucified Lord and Savior. It's a blasphemy, folks. It's a blasphemy of the worst sort against my wonderful, blessed Savior, who is no longer hanging on a cross. I don't believe in crucifixes. If you got one hanging around your neck, you go home tonight and tear that thing off. If you got them in your ears or whatever, you just get rid of those things. They're pagan in origin. Pagan in origin. My Savior died on that cross one time. They took him off the cross and put him in the tomb. And 3 days later, he rose up triumphantly over the grave. And he lives today, and he's not going to come and hang on the cross again. That's what that whole thing is. They're crucifying him afresh every day on their altars. It's wrong. It's false doctrine. Don't even get involved with it. Don't be putting them in your homes. If you've got a crucifix at home, you get rid of that thing. What a beautiful thing it was when Grammy Olivero got saved. You know what the first thing she did after she got saved? And she was like 80-some years old when she got saved. She went into her bedroom and took the crucifix off her wall. Took it down. My Savior, she would say in her Italian way, my Savior is no longer hanging on that cross. Of course, she said it in an Italian way with all the accent of an Italian that you can be. What a blessing. Interesting what happens when a soul gets saved. It's such a blessing. All right. Well, Jacob blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And you know, once again, he had to bless those two sons. He blessed the younger over the older. Once again. See how, and when Joseph brought his sons, he brought his sons in the way that he thought should be the best way. The oldest one would get the blessing from the right hand, and Jacob goes like this, and he blesses the one that God wanted to be blessed. You see, you just obey God, and he'll take care of things. Joseph thought, well, I'll bring them up the way I think they should be, and they'll get the blessing to the right one here. And God says, Jacob, cross your hands and put the blessing on the right one. And he did so by faith. Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. You know, when he was a dying, could he be aware of things enough to bless the right one the right way? And he did bless both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. One more verse I want to hit here tonight. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You know, it would be 400 some years after Joseph died that the children of Israel would be taken out of Egypt. So for 400 years, our nation isn't even that old. There they were for 400 years in servanthood down there in Egypt. And all that time, they had the bones of Joseph in a coffin waiting for things to come. Waiting for something to happen that Joseph could not have possibly seen with his eyes. He had to, by faith, believe in this, that Israel was not condemned to stay in Egypt forever. He knew the promise of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Palestinian covenant that God made with them. Abraham, the land you're walking on, you and your seed, your children, are going to inherit for an everlasting possession. And here they are down in Egypt. And before Joseph dies, he gives commandment concerning his bones. When you guys get ready to leave and go back to the promised land, you take my bones with you. And I've often said, I often wonder what the rest of the Gentiles, as they watched the children of Israel come out through the Red Sea, wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and then finally come into the land. And every time they would pick up and move on to the next encampment, and then to the next encampment, they have this strange habit of carrying this coffin with them. Coffin of one who believed in the promises of God. And you know what? Unless the rapture takes place for us believers in this day and age, in this church age, we're all going to end up in a coffin of some kind or another, whether it be a body coffin or, you know, in these days, a cremation urn or whatever. You're going to be looking forward to a day when the Lord's going to resurrect us and take us home to be with him bodily. That's going to take place. And yet, I've never seen that take place, but I believe it. I've never seen the rapture take place, but I believe it. You know why? Because the Bible says it. It's in my Bible. And I have to believe the Bible. And I hope you believe the Bible. Now, back in Abraham's day, there was no scripture written yet. Moses wrote the first scriptures. And Abraham walked with God, Isaac, Jacob. They all walked with the Lord, and they had faith in the things God promised to them. And they believed them all the way to their death, and all of them are in a grave somewhere. Right now, their bodies are in a grave. Abraham and Sarah both buried in the cave Machpelah. And Isaac's buried there too. And Jacob's buried there. With, by the way, his first wife, Leah. he's buried there. And they all died in faith, looking forward to the day when God would keep his word to them all about putting them into the land for an everlasting inheritance. You and I sit here tonight with full assurance that at any moment we could be caught up. And if it doesn't happen in my lifetime and you bury my body in the grave, he's going to raise that body up. And we believe that as sure as anything else we believe. As sure as anything. And we all love going back in the Old Testament and seeing the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ coming and dying on the cross and rising from the grave. And all those things have been fulfilled. I like it when you read the Gospel of John and it says that the scripture might be fulfilled. This and this happened, or this or that was said, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And it was fulfilled. And that same scripture tells me of things still yet to take place. And guess what? I believe them. And I hope and pray you all believe the same way and look forward to these things. He believed in the resurrection and gave commandment concerning his bones. Go to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. That would be your last chapter of the book of Genesis. And verse 24 and 26, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. Didn't I just say that to you? God will surely take us home someday. He's going to do this. Surely he's going to do it. And bring you out of this land, unto the land which he sware to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Go to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 19. Exodus 13. Verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. It must have been that Joseph continued throughout the 400 years of their sojourning in a strange land, that Joseph was a man of faith. He's the reason why we're still alive as a nation. And he had sworn the children of Israel, you take my bones with you when God carries you out. Joshua, go to Joshua chapter 24. Of course, that takes us all the way up to the time when they went through the Red Sea, the wilderness journey, and now they're going into the land to take it over under the leadership of Joshua. And in verse 32 of the last chapter of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 32, "And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in the parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph." He believed in a future going forth from Egypt. So we believe in a future going forth from this world. And we concern ourselves about that with no time length. I know you're all looking forward to the rapture, and you want it to take place tonight if possible. I know, but it may not be within God's time for us to go tonight. I would not be upset if it was his time tonight, but it may not be. And we may be here for a little while. You know what? We cannot concern ourselves with how long it takes. It was 400 years for Joseph to get his coffin up into the promised land, where he believed God would give back to his people. I believe God's word no matter what. And if I die without the rapture taking place, I'll say amen when I get their soul and spirit up there in heaven. And you put my body in the grave down here, my soul and spirit will be with the Lord. And I will agree with him no matter how long it takes. But I wouldn't be upset if he came tonight. I can remember as a child hearing preachers talk about the rapture, and they were convinced it was going to happen in their lifetime. A whole bunch of them have died. And it didn't take place. Does that mean it's not going to take place? No, it's as sure as anything in this whole world that it's going to take place. It's as sure as anything. And we need to die believing that if necessary. He had faith in God's revelation and faithfulness and power. God is faithful. He can bring it to pass. And what he has said, he will do. And by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, he gave commandment concerning his bones. Now you take my bones with you when you leave. If I die before the rapture, you just go bury my bones. But don't stand there at the grave crying like as if you lost me forever. We'll meet again someday in glory. And that's going to take place. We will meet again. And you know, we need to take God at his word. Let's take our course books here tonight. Those of you on the internet listening, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he died for you. He was buried and he rose up from the grave. And that's why we can talk about our own resurrection someday, going to be with the Lord. Because our Savior is the first fruits out from the grave. And we're going to follow him right on up into glory. But you know what? It's the Bible that tells us this. And the Bible stands, number 73. Number 73. We're going to sing "The Bible Stands." If you're listening on the internet and need to be saved, you get saved right now. Trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're already saved and you know this song, you can join in with us as we sing here at Ray Street Baptist Church. "The Bible Stands." And if you feel like standing here, folks, you go ahead and get up and let's sing this song. "The Bible Stands." Like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob believed, so do we. because I'll be with him and I'll know everything is right just as he said. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together tonight. Give us safety as we go our way. Be with us and help us to take a stand for the things you've promised to us and not be afraid to speak a word for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.